I had a problem, and you'll be surprised at the solution that was given to me. Here's my problem. After my wife Diane died, people gave us food. And the problem was, the kind of food that people gave us was the kind of food that was best consumed with ice cream. There's no problem with that, is there? And so there was ice cream in the house, and the kids stayed for a couple of weeks, and after the kids left, there was still ice cream. And I remember distinctly walking into the store and saying out loud to myself, I'm not going to buy any ice cream. But it was the weirdest thing. As I wheeled my cart out of the store, there was ice cream there. And so I struggled with that for a while, and it got to be a problem. So a month or so after Diane died, I went to the doctor, and he took my blood pressure, and it was 160 over 100. And it wasn't quite high enough to ring the bell, but it was high. And I was like, that's not good. And he wanted to put me on a prescription, and I said, no, I'll take care of that with exercise and eating better. And so what did I do? I was sharing that with James, my grief counselor, and he said, I have the solution for you. And it was interesting what he said. Here's the solution. You can have ice cream every day, but you can't have any in the house. You can go to Dairy Queen and get some ice cream there, but don't bring any into the house. And that worked. And that was my solution in that moment. But see, that wasn't the real issue. What was the real issue? The real issue was, I was trying to solve an emotional and spiritual need with food. And food is physical. And can that solve emotional and spiritual problems? No. And that's what I was trying to do. Now, I was wondering, have you ever seen that dynamic in your life? When you're stressed, or when you're angry, or lonely, or when you're really tired, and you try to fix that physical issue in your life, that spiritual issue in your life, you try to fix it with food, or with alcohol, or with porn, or with binge-watching TV, or doom-scrolling on social media. Does any of that help? No, it doesn't. We all know that if you're stressed about a work deadline, that binge-watching Breaking Bad won't help you meet that deadline. We all know that buying 3 new fall outfits won't fix the communication issues in your marriage. We all know that, but we still do that. We still have those behaviors in our lives. We're still behaving badly. Why do we do that? What's going on? So this morning, we're taking a look at a lady who had that issue in her life. She had huge emotional needs, and she was looking for a way to fill that hole in her soul. And before we jump in to the scripture, we need to understand the background of that situation. She was a Samaritan lady, and the Samaritans descended from Jewish roots, but their culture was nearly pagan. Women had no real standing in that culture. Their standing was secondary to men in legal and political and former standing in that culture. Women were not equals with men in the public power structures. This woman had been married 5 times. She wasn't married to the man that she was currently living with. And so the tendency is to look at her from our cultural perspective, and we tend to think, well, that she was an unsatisfied, immoral woman, divorcing her husbands and jumping from marriage to marriage. But that was not the case. At that time, a woman didn't have the ability to divorce her husband. So here was her situation. Her situation, this woman has been rejected and divorced 5 times. And so can you imagine the hurt that she's going through? And the guy that she was living with probably took advantage of her desperate situation, because there was nothing for a single divorced woman to do in that culture other than prostitution. And so she chose the next best thing, to live with this guy. So this was a hurting woman with an aching heart. And it's going to take us several weeks to unpack her story and her conversation with Jesus. But today we're looking at how she almost missed the gift that Jesus had for her. So how to miss a gift. We're looking at this so we can see how not to do it. John chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, or noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So how do you miss a gift? You judge someone by their background. Samaritans were Jews that had intermarried with pagans hundreds of years before this. And so the Jews despised the Samaritans. When they would go to Galilee, instead of going straight shot, they would go over, up, and back over. And it was a long way around, but that way you didn't get close to any Samaritans. They were bad people. And the Jews hated them. It was so bad. It was so thick, you could cut the hatred with a knife. It was that bad. And so this Samaritan woman looked at Jesus as a Jew and said, "We can't have anything to do with each other because you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan." And I was thinking about that. What do we do when we meet somebody? "Oh, so where are you from?" "Oh. So what do you do for a living?" "Oh, oh." And then you know, right? Okay, I don't need to take this conversation any farther. I know your background, and we judge people based on that kind of information. It's exactly what the Samaritan woman did. And because of that attitude she had towards Jews, she may have missed the gift that Jesus had for her. Let's go on, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus was saying, in essence, "Hey, I have a gift for you." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" How do you miss a gift? You diminish someone by their perceived abilities. This woman looked at Jesus and said, "Where's your bucket? You don't have a bucket. You don't have the ability. You say you're going to give me living water. You don't have the ability to get water out of there." She looked at his clothing and said, You're not royalty." She looked at his clothing and said, "You're not wealthy. You don't come from wealth. How can you give me anything? We tend to look at people that way, and she almost missed a gift because she thought she knew who she was talking to. Have you ever done that? You looked at somebody and said, oh, they'll never amount to anything. You ever done that? You meet somebody and you say, oh, I know. Nothing good is ever going to come out of your life. But here's the thing I've noticed. People who are outstanding have a wide area of incompetence. Their competency is a very narrow part of their life. So very competent people are incompetent at many things, but the things they're really good at, they're very good at. And you can look at somebody and say, well, he's not very good at that. He's not a very good person. And what I've learned is that everybody on this planet is better at something than I am. And that has changed the way I look at people. Everybody on this planet is better at something than I am. And I'm curious enough that I want to figure out what that is for everybody I meet. And this woman was the exact opposite of that. She diminished who she thought Jesus was because her perceived abilities. One of the most amazing ministry leaders in northern Indiana never went to college. And yet, God is using him to do an amazing work all over northern Indiana, southern Michigan. He never went to college. And you could look at that and go, where'd you go to school? I didn't. But he's doing amazing work. John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. As I read that, I thought, you know what? John has been doing that all the way through the beginning of the book of John. He keeps referring to all these things that are beyond physical capabilities. It's like the Word. Remember in John 1:1, the Word. Well, what do you mean the Word? The Lamb of God. He talked about a stairway between heaven and earth. And then John chapter 2, he talked about rebuilding the temple in 3 days. And then John 3, he talked about being born again. And so when he has this conversation, the people he's talking with are talking at this level, and Jesus is way up here. He's talking about being born again. He's talking about being born of the Spirit. He's talking at a different level, and he does it again here. They're talking about water at a well. And this woman says, how are you going to get this water? And Jesus said, oh, the water I give you, you drink this water, and then there's a well inside of you, and you don't have to ever drink anymore. This woman, what does she say? Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I don't have to keep coming here to draw water. Again, she's thinking physically. What did she do? Expect someone else to make my life easier. You ever done that? You ever say, you know, God, I'm going to serve you, but I want you to make my life easier. I want you to make my life simpler. Friends, I wish that were the case. He came to give us life and life to the full. But if we're followers of Jesus, then we'll go through similar things that Jesus did, right? And some of those things are difficult and challenging. But that's how he works in our lives. Rather than looking at my life and say, God, can you make my life easier? she almost missed that gift. She was completely missing Jesus' point. And she's not alone. We do that very same thing. Let me see if any of these things apply to you. You're lonely, and you think of that simply on a physical level. Just like the Samaritan woman, Jesus was talking on a spiritual level. She's on the physical level. So you think you're lonely, so you're thinking, well, I need a friend. That's what I need. Or we need to have a party. That'll fix my loneliness. Or maybe you've been hurt, and so you think what you need is you need revenge. Like good, sweet revenge with lots of people watching as you get revenge. Or maybe you say, no, what I need, I just need to vent. Or I need therapy. Maybe you've been abused and you think all you need is justice. Maybe you think I've been abused and I just want to beat the abuse out of the abuser. That'll fix it. Or you've been attacked and you want to attack the person back. You want justice. You want your pound of flesh. Maybe it's a dysfunctional childhood. And you just live blaming your parents and being bitter about your parents and about society. And you think that therapy is going to fix all of that. Maybe you've been lied about. And all you want to do is you want to set the record straight. You want to let everybody know publicly that wasn't the truth. And you want to expose the liar. Maybe you've been lied to. And you want to find the truth. You want to learn how to trust again. Maybe for you, because of what you've been through, you feel insecure. And so you see this pattern in your life where you just start tearing everybody down in your life. And you just start ripping everybody else to shreds in your life because of your own insecurity, trying to bring everybody down to your level. These are all external things. Something happens to me, and I'm going to fix it out here. And Jesus is saying, that is not the fix. Remember what he said in verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. God is offering you living water. God is offering you living water. When the river of living water flows, it fills the lowest levels first. Jesus didn't start with how to win friends and influence people. Jesus didn't enroll her in premarital counseling. Jesus didn't have her work at improving her self-esteem. Jesus went deeper than that. Living water flows to the deepest need in your life. See, this woman will eventually influence friends. She'll win friends and she'll influence people. When the man she's living with comes to faith in Jesus, that will completely change her relationship with him. There's a slide of the God circle. And the first layer of that is our resulting behaviors. We tend to think if there's a behavioral issue in our life, we tend to think, oh, there's a problem in my life. I am worrying. And we try to work at that issue at that level. And that doesn't work. It's like trying to play whack-a-mole. If worry is an issue, it's worry isn't the problem. Go to the layer below that. The layer below that is our patterns of thinking. What am I thinking about? Well, if worrying is my issue, then what am I thinking about? My pattern of thinking is, it's all up to me. if I don't do it, nobody will do it. Nobody else is going to take care of me. I've got to do it myself. Well, we take it to the layer below that. What are our conclusions about God? Our conclusions about God in the case of worry is God helps those who help themselves, which is not in the Bible. And our conclusion, God is not going to take care of me. I have to do it myself. And because of that, I think it's all up to me. And because of that, I worry. We don't fix it at the behavioral. We go all the way to the core, and it's our relationship with God. This woman was thinking water is her issue. Jesus is saying, your issue is much deeper than that. And Jesus meets those needs at the deepest level. Whatever the behaviors are that we're dealing with, whatever the things are in our life, we think we're trying to fix that or cover that up. And Jesus is saying, no. You're thinking at a high level. Let me get to the core of the issue. And the core of the issue is living water. Jesus wants living water to flow into your life to change you from the inside out. And then everything else will change as a result of that. Here's the bottom line. Your solution is at a deeper level than your need. This woman thought her issue was water. Jesus said, it's a relationship with me. Invite Jesus to bring living water deep into your soul. So there is a culture that hated Jesus. There is a culture that hated Jews. And Jesus broke into that culture. How did he do that? He did that by finding a broken, rejected, lonely person to show grace, acceptance, love, and truth. And we, as followers of Jesus, needed to do the same thing. We need to hose people down with living water. We need to love them and serve them. That's one reason we're doing Fall Family Fun, is to develop relationships with people that don't know Jesus. And we need to love them and serve them and speak truth to them, just like Jesus did. There was a lady who had gone through a lot of abuse and difficulty. She made a bunch of bad decisions. And she'd come to faith in Jesus, but she struggled because God felt so distant. And she was talking to a counselor about this. And they prayed together and said, God, help me with this. And one night she had a dream. And in her dream, it was her and Jesus, and they were like in an art gallery. Only every painting, every picture was some episode in her life where she made a bad decision, where she was abused or hurt. And her and Jesus would walk up to that picture, and they would look at that, and she would remember that. And then she said, in my dream, Jesus just took that picture down. And then we walked to the next one, and he took that picture down. And we went to the next one. And he said, after a while, I looked around, and the hallway was completely empty. All the pictures were gone. And Jesus had dealt with all those issues in her life. Would you stand with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you one question. And that one question is this: is there a need in your life where you need living water to flow? Is there a need in your life where you say, Jesus, I need living water to flow into that area of my life. I just want you to slip up your hand and we'll pray for that area. Okay. 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 See those hands? Yes. Anyone else? Okay. You can put those down. One more time. Anybody else? Okay. Father, we pray for those who raise their hands that they need living water. Lord, bring forgiveness, bring healing. Where there was shame, bring joy. Where there was brokenness, bring peace. Father, you can do amazing things when we open up our lives. Father, work in and through us to accomplish your will. Lord, prepare us. Prepare us for living water flowing out of our lives. As we align our lives with you, living water will flow out of us into others. Prepare us for that. Help us to renovate this community with living water. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.